Good morning. Is that all right? Doing a wee bit, I think. Anyway, good morning. And can I just say how much I feel honoured to be allowed to take this service today. A warm welcome to everyone joining the service, whether a regular attender, a visitor, or online. Welcome, and it's a great comfort to see, for me to see all your friendly faces as I undertake this real challenge. When I was asked to lead the service today, I barely hesitated before agreeing. Fools rush in, etc. But after much thought, I knew what a great privilege it is to lead worship here today. Now, there are intimation sheets at the back of the church, but there's two or three that I want to draw your attention to. Firstly, the Guild will return on 12th September, following the dedication service on the 11th September. Dandelion Days, celebrating our community. Various events from Wednesday the 7th September to Saturday the 10th September. There are leaflets at the back of the church. Please take one or you'll get one handed to you as you leave this morning. Finally, the mission planning process. You'll have heard that mentioned before. There are papers at the back which explain what's going on. Developments are ongoing, and we'll probably hear, and you will hear more about that in the days to come. Calm me, Lord, as you calm the storm. Still me, Lord, keep me from harm. Let all tumult within me cease. Enfold me, Lord, within your peace. Now have a responsive psalm. Psalm 25. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come in those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your way, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Amen. Our opening praise this morning is hymn 36, God is our refuge and our strength. I'm a great one for quotations. Here's one. The Dalai Lama. When you talk, you're only repeating something you already know. But if you listen, you may learn something new. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we gather together today to give you thanks and praise for your greatness. We praise your mighty works to the whole world. We praise you for your wonderful deeds. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is unparalleled. Your grace is overwhelming. Your love is never failing. You promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. Let us worship you in spirit and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is 561, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Now I'd like to ask Catherine to come forward and give the readings for this morning.
Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, reading verses 1 to 17, the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You should have no other gods before me. You should not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth below, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Punish the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your sons nor daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in the sixth day the Lord made heaven and the earth, the seas and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your mother and father, so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 7, reading verses 1 to 8, 14 and 15, and then 21 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were not defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and the Jews do not eat unless they have given their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to a tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to human traditions." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of the person that defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Amen.
Our next hymn is 465, "Be Thou My Vision."
change. And I don't mean the loose coin I went for when I realised the first Sunday of the month and the flower box is at the door of these services. No, the change I want to talk about is the one that no one seems to like. Feet and inches to metres and centimetres, pounds and ounces to kilos and grams, pounds, shillings and pence to pounds and pence. But the way things are going, measures the pounds alone in the near future. All of these changes, many more have happened in our lifetime. And we have adopted, adjusted, and come to accept them as part of our daily lives.
That said, we all have certain core traditions and beliefs that are important to us. They make us who we are, they define our own behaviours and the way we think other people should behave. That is what lies behind the passage from Mark chapter 7. As usual, the Pharisees and Jesus are having a difference of opinion. Now there's an understatement. The Pharisees were upset because Jesus and his disciples did not take part in the Jewish hand-washing ritual before they ate. To the Pharisees, Jesus and his disciples committed a sin. The Pharisees were not the only people who get upset when traditions are not followed. We get upset when people do not follow our traditions. We sometimes have to part with our traditions. And that is not always easy for us to accept. That's one reason why in recent years some congregations have left the Church of Scotland, just as they have in other denominations. They were not able to accept changes such as the blessing of a same-sex union. To them, the status quo is the only way to go. Another example is the tradition that people who go to church have to wear their very best clothes. Just look around at the people sitting next to you. Some are dressed up, but some are wearing casual, everyday clothes. Some also believe that ministers have to wear clerical suits and collars all of the time, even under their robes on a Sunday morning. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I know a lot of ministers who don't even wear a suit and a tie, let alone a clerical suit and collar. You may also be grateful that the hot weather seems to have passed, otherwise I might be standing here in shorts. Not a pretty sight. We must not think that the Pharisees are completely bad. When you consider that from the Ten Commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain, they've expanded these laws contained in some 17 verses of Exodus to the entire books of Leviticus and Numbers, dedicated to obeying and pleasing God. And that desire led to distinctive practices, such as kosher food, and the rules for the Sabbath, the rules for making clothes, the rules for planting their crops. These practices helped them to keep their identity as God's chosen people in a pagan world. Their traditions grew out of a need to keep that identity. The Pharisees used their desire to obey God to create rules to expand the laws of Moses. Over time, these rules became so hard and fast that they became a surrogate law that the Jewish leaders regarded as being equal to Scripture. They lost sight of the difference between God's law and their opinion. Jesus said that this was their sin. Jesus did not condemn all traditions. He only condemned those traditions that were elevated to sacred status. The church is responsible for preserving tradition, but it must make a clear distinction between essential scriptural teachings and non-essential traditions. When he responded to the Pharisees' question, Jesus went right to the heart of the issue. The Pharisees wanted to hold on to human tradition at all costs, when they should have been more concerned with teaching God's deeper requirements of love, compassion, and justice. God is more concerned with a spiritual cleansing and purifying. If our hearts have been purified, our prayer and behaviour will be in line with what God wants. If we act out of good hearts, we will know how to behave, even if we don't know the exact rule for a particular situation. While a sense of tradition is desirable and necessary at times, a problem occurs when tradition is substituted for true worship or true faith. When the action associated with our traditions become more important than the meaning of the traditions, we can get sidetracked. The Pharisees were more concerned with strict observance of Jewish law than they were about true faith in God. The Pharisees were concerned about keeping God's people distinct and keeping them from becoming assimilated with a larger culture. This effort to be distinct included rigid observance of rules, but the observance of rules covered up their lack of inward love and devotion. Now, we know that change for change's sake is wrong, but equally, it's aye been as equally wrong. You all know that there are great changes coming in the church, and for a variety of reasons. What that will mean for us here in Forth, we'll hear about in the coming weeks. But until that happens, we should be wary of half-truths and rumours spread by those who, with little or no connection or knowledge of the position the church finds itself in. Jesus wants us to see that the core issue always comes down to what is in the heart. Ritual external purity is not necessarily the same as genuine interior piety. We are being hypocrites if we vainly honour God with our lips while our hearts are estranged from him. Jesus defined true piety as a commitment from the heart totally dedicated to loving service of God and for others. Listening and doing are two different things. Some people are like that, carry their Bibles, they bring their offering, they sing every hymn, and they listen to every word the minister says. But it doesn't change anything in their hearts. They look good on the outside, but their goodness is only skin deep. Their worship is for appearance only, and is not from the heart. The choices we make can affect your lives. You are who you associate with, can be true in many cases. For example, if you live in an area with a high crime rate, chances are that you'll either be seen as a criminal or become a criminal if you are not careful. Now, that's a really extreme example. But I'm sure if you step back for a moment, you'll recognise situations or habits which fit the bill. When God looks at us, the first thing he sees is the state of our heart. God doesn't care about what we look like on the outside. He's more concerned about what's on the inside. He has more sympathy and compassion for a poor beggar in rags who has true faith than he does for a rich person who wears fine clothes but has a rotten heart and soul. And this is what Jesus is getting at when he addresses the Pharisees' criticism of him and his disciples. If we don't take time to have our hearts purified by God once in a while, we won't be able to receive his blessing. Jesus argued that the observance of purity was not needed because the kingdom of God is for everyone, Jews, Gentiles, those who observe their purity laws, and those who could not keep them. Everyone is equal before God. Those who are holier than thou often have the belief that they can judge others. When that attitude is observed from afar, it's not pretty. It reeks of a superficial hypocrisy and hateful attitude. These people are often the same who on the surface observe sacred rituals. They have no inward disposition towards God, hence Jesus' reference to the filth that comes from inside. Jesus sets us free to look at ourselves and see our internal sinful nature. We are free to accept the grace to choose God's mercy, but we can't admit that we need outside help. We need outside help to take in goodness and bear good fruit. If our hearts belong to God, nothing else matters. When people equate tradition with the law, problems come up. Pharisees have made the law more important than God's rule, just like many of us have made our traditions more important than true faith in God. The Protestant Reformation was fueled in part by the desire to break free from Roman Catholic traditions and rules and get back to true worship of God. But wait, are we not guilty and liable to fall into the same trap? Best clothes for a Sunday, etc.? Can you remember when a woman would not dream of attending Sunday service without a hat on her head? Or a man wearing a shiny black or grey suit? Or to go back even further, the cutty stole. Remember, Robert Burns had experience of this delightful symbol of the authority of the righteous. Jesus argued that not all the Pharisees' rules had to be obeyed. All we have to do is love God with our hearts, not our heads. We have to ask ourselves what the interests of God are, and what does God think about the way we live our lives? Does the way we live our lives reflect a way of life that is true with God and his plan for our lives? While our Christianity should shape our behaviour, it runs deeper than our behaviour. It has implications for how we live our lives, but it is also mysticism before it is morality. Faith before it is action. The seed of a new life before it is the fruit of that new life. Those who would serve the interests of God can do so by giving expressions to joy in their lives. Those who feel God's love have much to offer the hurting and disconnected in our world. With Christ's help, we can all make and accept the changes we need to make to shape our behaviour for the good of all. Amen. Our next hymn is 518, Lift Up Your Hearts.
Pray for the needs of all local community and for those who are genuine worries and fears as
as they face the autumn and winter ahead. We pray that those in power act properly and support all who might suffer. May your love and care extend over all here and those who currently with us today, the family, neighbours, friends, and community. And may all of the joy of your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The closing hymn, number 646, 4, in the peace of Christ we go.